right now on VFN TV. A prophecy just came out June 22nd by Bill Yant that Washington, D.C. is going to be taken down to rock bottom. New construction is coming to Washington, D.C. A powerful word we'll be sharing with you. Also, we're going to go to the tech conference. Really, if you think about it, everything we do today is being ran by tech. Well, guess what? They all came to the White House to be able to help President Trump in the new direction of our nation. It's very exciting. You're going to see firsthand all these businesses that came and said, how can we help you, including Apple and Microsoft and so many others. And we're going to go right to our unofficial reporter in Israel, Naftali, as he interviews Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, asking him, you know, what do we need to do and how do we represent Israel? And finally, we'll conclude with a weekly address from President Trump and what Buffett has to say about health insurance. It's an exciting program. Check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This administration remains committed to serving all students, especially the most vulnerable. As we've seen in states around the country, these students particularly benefit from school choice programs.
And this is what God said to me on that phone. He said, the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched.
Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea?
President Trump, once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria. Please, don't stop on this.
In my first 100 days, I appointed and confirmed a Supreme Court justice in the mold of the late, great Antonin Scalia. And now, Justice Gorsuch has a seat on the United States Supreme Court.
Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
We are celebrating the dignity of work and the greatness of the American worker. Today, this is the message I want every young American to hear. There is dignity in every honest job, and there is nobility in every honest worker.
It's hard to unify the country, though, with the news media being so split up. When I was president, you know, you mattered a lot more because there was like three of you.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
Bureaucrats think they can run over your lives, overrule your values, and tell you how to live. But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community. We know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise children and create a thriving society. Yesterday, we signed historic agreements with the kingdom that will invest almost $400 billion in our two countries and create many hundreds of thousands of jobs in America and Saudi Arabia.
That is now the lowest unemployment rate since May 2007. Think about that for a minute.
The NASDAQ is up 15 of the 18 trading days so far this month. If it maintains that pace, it'll be the most winningest month for the index since September of 1996.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS in Syria, in Iraq, across the region, but as I said, not just financially, but actually with its own troops and with its own people.
Muslim-majority countries must take the lead in combating radicalization. There can be no coexistence with this violence. There can be no tolerating it, no accepting it, no excusing it, and no ignoring it. If we do not stand in uniform condemnation of this killing, then not only will we be judged by our people, not only will we be judged by history, but we will be judged by God.
Mr. President, we are happy to see that America is back in the area. America is back again.
On my first trip overseas, I've come to this ancient land to reaffirm the enduring friendship between the United States and the State of Israel. And it will always be enduring. And that's number one for me.
For the first time in many years, and Mr. President, for the first time in my lifetime, I see a real hope for change. Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Words fail to capture the experience. It will leave an impression on me forever. Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed. And Iran's leaders routinely call for Israel's destruction. Not with Donald J. Trump.
In my short time in Washington, I've seen firsthand how the system is broken. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God.
God said that this wealth in the last days is going to be transferred onto the saints of God. There's going to be a wealth transfer, and God's going to make a host of his last day church to come into great wealth. You have been faithful over the few. You have tithed. You've given offerings. You've given the building programs, you've helped the poor, you've given gifts, and God said, now I'm about to pour out upon you restoration and blessings like you've never had them before. God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give wealth transfer in these last days, and you need to believe it.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. I'm so excited that you have joined us. I'm about to deliver a prophecy that so excited me. It came from Bill Yant. It came to me on June 22nd as he made it available to me, and it's about literally changing Washington, D.C. I wanted to be able to read this prophecy to you. He says, there's a new carpenter in town. Think about that, a new carpenter in town. Major construction is coming to the White House. This is a prophecy being given about Washington, D.C. There's a new carpenter in town. That major construction is coming to Washington, D.C., to the White House. He said, I heard this Jewish carpenter declare the day of trying to force square pegs into round holes is over. Isn't that awesome? He says, I'm carving out a new place for my so-called misfits to influence the government of this nation. Since my foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, many will wonder what I'm up to in Washington, D.C. Isn't this an exciting word? Listen up. I'm digging up the foundation of the nation until it hits rock bottom. I will then hone it out of my rock, the rock of ages, and many will witness my explosive power like dynamite, interrupting and shaking the hell out of the nation, releasing a tsunami effect worldwide with the fear of the Lord. He says, the fuse is lit. Stay focused on me and don't get addicted to the news of this world. Up until now, they have blocked me out, but the media will soon give way as I blow the hinges off the newsrooms in America. Is this not exciting? That came from Bill Yant. I got that word. I was so encouraged because it lines up with so many things that's going on. And we're excited because this thing's been so lopsided for so long. So I want to encourage you. A new carpenter's in town. Major construction is coming to the White House. If you missed our last program about breakthrough, things are happening with infrastructure. Things are happening with jobs. Things are happening with healthcare, airline industry. I mean, you name it. Everything's just shifting in the economy. It is amazing what's taking place. And at Washington, D.C., the swamp, obviously, is going to be drained. Listen, we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back and we're going to hear this tech conference that was taking place, just took place in the White House. This is so important because really these tech companies that you actually are probably using on your computer, on your mobile phone, that your companies are using, that your power company is using, all these people came together and they're saying, listen, we want to work together with you, Mr. President, to be able to bring America into the new, better, fruitful, more economic, fruitful environment. Also, when you think about this, they said that, you know, America should be the most modern government around, but it's not the most modern government. But they're about to change that. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV.
But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Big things are happening in America. Big things are happening in Washington, D.C. This is truly the year of breakthrough. President Trump had a tech conference, a tech synergy, if you would, came together at the White House and begin to talk about how we can make America's government more efficient, more responsive to the people. And people, company leaders like the leader of Apple, the leader of Microsoft, the leader of Oracle. As a matter of fact, it seems like everybody who was anybody was there saying, listen, we want to help you out to be able to make this a successful administration. Let's go join this now. I want you to watch because we're going to show you each of these leaders and their company what difference that is being made right now out of Washington, D.C. Take a look.
But I want to thank you all for being here, special people. I'm really thrilled to welcome many of you for the first time, and certainly the first time meeting as the American Technology Council. We're joined by an incredible group of leaders on the absolute cutting edge of innovation, including many CEOs from the world's most successful businesses. We have approximately $3.5 trillion of market value in this room, but that's almost the exact number that we've created since my election. In fact, I think we have you beat by a little bit, which is a pretty good number. But I congratulate you all. You've done an amazing job. Thank you for lending your time and your talent to the American people. A lot of ideas have come out of the room today, and a lot of ideas will over the next short period of time. I also want to welcome Secretary Mnuchin, Secretary Kelly, Administrator Verma, and my budget director, Mick Mulvaney. Thank you all. Doing a great job. I want to thank Jared and Chris Liddell, for assembling such a spectacular group of people. They're working very, very hard. I want to thank Ivanka for working so hard on it. It's a real passion. Our goal is to lead a sweeping transformation of the federal government's technology that will deliver dramatically better services for citizens, stronger protection from cyber attacks, which we were just discussing in the Oval Office with a little bit smaller group. That's a big problem. There's no question about it. We're going to be working on it. We're going to solve the problem. And up to $1 trillion in savings for taxpayers over the next 10 years, over a trillion. We're embracing big change, bold thinking, and outsider perspectives to transform government and make it the way it should be, and at far less cost. My administration's already taken very historic steps to modernize critical IT systems and make government more transparent. As an example, you're seeing what we're doing with the airports, with all of the billions and billions of dollars that have been spent on planes flying all in the wrong directions. We're getting a change. They spent many billions of dollars, and we are getting that whole system fixed. Money wasted over the last 6 or 7 years, billions. VA Secretary Shulkin recently announced that we're upgrading technology to allow the seamless transfer of veterans' medical records from the Defense Department, which has been a huge problem for decades and decades for our great veterans. We'll have it fixed very soon, but it's been a problem for many, many decades. Across government, we're fixing problems in months that others have not fixed in many, many years. And we're just getting started. 50 years ago, our government drove the innovation that inspired the world and put Americans on the moon. Today, many of our agencies rely on painfully outdated technology. And yet we have the greatest people in technology that the world has ever seen right here with us in this room. And most of them are just nodding as I say that. They're actually agreeing with me, which that's interesting, Eric, right? Government needs to catch up with the technology revolution. We're going to change that with the help of great American businesses like the people assembled. The businesses represented here today employ hundreds of thousands of American workers. Your innovation has shaped the modern world and created millions of jobs. America should be the global leader in government technology, just as we are in every other aspect. And we are going to start our big edge again in technology, such an important industry. I view it from the standpoint of jobs and other things. You view it somewhat differently, but we're all in the same ballpark. It's so important, so important. My administration is embracing a new spirit of innovation that will make life better for all Americans. And when it comes to what we're here for today, American technology, we're working very diligently with everybody, including Congress, on immigration so that you can get the people you want in your companies. And it's been a tremendous problem that you've had over the past long period of time. So we're working very hard on that, and we'll be able to solve that problem. I want to thank everyone in the room for lending your time again. And what I'd like to do is maybe just go around the room briefly and just introduce yourself and perhaps the name of your company. We won't go with too many long speeches, but we'll maybe just we'll start with our wonderful, great genius from Microsoft who has done one hell of a job. Congratulations on the job you've done. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thanks for the opportunity today to spend the time, both learn and contribute, I think, to what is one of the most important dialogues, which is about modernizing our government with the latest technology and so that the people of America can benefit from it. So I think the first thing I took away is how important an agenda it is to modernize technology. The second thing I think is for us to do our best work as an industry and in collaboration with the government to skill the people of the United States for the jobs of the future. Technology will play a role both in creation of the jobs and the skills. And then lastly, I would say that we also need to increase American competitiveness. And the two things that the government can and has done is spending in big research. After all the technology that we have today is because it started, in fact, in the government and the research institutions you funded, as well as the enlightened immigration policy. Of course, I'm a beneficiary of that, and I hope that we continue to be able to sort of really make sure that the American competitiveness is what helps us set policy for it.
Well, thank you, Satya. And perhaps we could keep it a little shorter than that, Fox. Otherwise, we might be here for a long time. Anyway, Jeff.
All right, I will be short. I think, you know, when we met before in December, I encouraged this administration that you could be the innovation administration. I'd like to see that kind of thinking continue. I applaud the formation of the Innovation Council and thank Jared for doing that. Just a couple of things that you could certainly focus on. One would be using commercial technologies wherever possible. I think you guys are already headed that way, but to leverage those will save taxpayers a lot of money. The second one is to continue to work hard on figure out ways to retrain and upskill workers all over the U.S. We have a program at Amazon called Career Choice that's been doing that. We've already got 10,000 people in the program. Ivanka knows about this program. And then the third thing to keep your eye on, and I think it would be impossible to overstate this, is that the United States needs to, in every way, at every level, be working on machine learning and artificial intelligence. And that can be used in every part of government to improve the services that government provides to citizens.
Good. Thank you, Jeff. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Next.
Mr. President, I'm Raphael Reif. I'm MIT's president, and I'm delighted to be part of this terrific group. Let me say that I applaud the focus of your administration and innovation. We are the most innovative country in the world today, and the biggest issue we have among ourselves right now, in my view, is to stay where we are as the most innovative country in the world 30 years from now and beyond.
Well, my uncle was a professor there for a long time. So I have a lot of respect for MIT, believe me. Great place. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes.
I'm Carol Folt. I'm the Chancellor at UNC. And I, too, am delighted to be here talking about innovation and workforce and talent. I mean, people have said what's really important, but when I think about the future, I think of all those kids that have such capacity, and what we're talking about is trying to take every resource we have to put to building that innovation capacity for the country, and so it's great to be here.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
I'm Tom Layton from Akamai, and we protect government websites from attackers, the majority of the government websites, including whitehouse.gov.
The DNC could have used you.
Well, it's an important job, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of folks out there trying to do bad things, and we're delighted to help with the effort to save $1 trillion and to secure the government.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm Zach Bookman, CEO of a company called OpenGov. We have about 1,500 governments across the country as customers of our smart government cloud for budgeting and intelligence and open data. I'm really excited and honored to be a part of today's conversation, and I applaud the work that Jared and so many others here are leading. It's clear to me that a lot of the thinking being applied is exactly what's been needed for a long time, and I think it's just the beginning of a lot of innovation. So
I think that's right. Thank you very much.
Pat Gelsinger, CEO of VMware. And we're some 70%+ of government workloads run in the VMware software today, so we're thrilled to be able to be in that role today. But more importantly, moving it forward to the cloud, we think is critical. This potential in cyber and really putting in place cyber hygiene. And ultimately, we as an industry are the product of the seed corn that was planted 30, 40, 50 years ago from the great research investments of government and university. And we deeply believe that we need to be planting those seed corns for our children and grandchildren.
Great. Thank you.
This is so exciting to be able to see these technology companies come together and begin to just say, listen, President Trump, we are here with you. Obviously, Jared, his son, is heading this up with his daughter, Ivanka. And we're seeing big changes. Everybody's coming together and said, listen, we're going to do this thing. And we're going to have more understanding of that in these companies when we get back from this break. We're going to continue to stay with the White House. But first, we have this offer for you. It's called Code Red, Confronting Sin Before It Conquers You. I take you in this story to a community who just got blinded by their sin. And if they just could have heard the mercies of God, God came again and again and again and wanted to show forth mercy, but they didn't see it and paid a huge consequence. I just want to encourage you, get this so you can confront sin before it conquers you. Here's the details.
Offer 2035, Code Red, confronting sin before it conquers you. When a shark locks into its prey, its eyes roll back into its head and takes away its ability to see. In this message, we'll see how an entire community went into Code Red just like a shark, losing their ability to see the dangers their sin was going to cause. We'll discover in this message, although there was great sin, how God made attempt after attempt to show them mercy, and they missed it because of their blind rage. Yet God still rescues some of the community just because He is good and full of mercy. It's important to recognize how the adversary attempts to tempt us to sin and how to recognize the call of God to us personally when He is desiring to rescue us by His mercy. You'll also learn some key strategies for being able to make a preemptive plan to help you to keep from going into Code Red, like those sharks, and lose the ability to see spiritually what is taking place. Finally, you'll be blessed when you see just how merciful God is and how He sees generations ahead of us and how He plans to demonstrate just how merciful He is. For God is good and merciful. We want to send this offer to you for a free gift of any amount. You can partner with us by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by writing to VFN TV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's 2035. Code Red, confronting sin before it conquers you.
This is VFN TV. VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do students have the right to opt out of a school activity if it interferes with their moral conscience? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son goes to a public high school, and his school requires its students to take a parenting class. And we have some objections to the class. The biggest one, I guess, is that as parents, we feel it's our job to teach our kids to be parents and don't feel like the school has that responsibility. And I wanted to know if we can just completely just get him out of the class.
Well, you should certainly be able to opt him out of the class. And let me say this again, when it comes to a curriculum that you object to on religious grounds, here the parenting class, if they're teaching things which you disagree with, you should go to the teacher, discuss the concern, and ask for an alternative assignment. They cannot compel your child to participate in a class that the parents find objectionable based on religious grounds.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Cora Fickinger from Collinsville, Illinois, who is an environmental testing person, wants me to talk about quality. Cora, I can understand if that's your profession, why you want me to talk about that subject. I think that too many people who especially maybe are gifted or talented take too many shortcuts. When I was very young in my career and I realized that I had some giftedness that would allow me to say things and do things that would help me to be successful, I was very tempted to kind of take shortcuts and not always develop my lessons as I should or not finish the task as I should. And going into that early part of my career, one day I said to myself, I have to live with myself. And it's not what others think about who I am and what I've done, but it's who I think of who I am and what I have done. And at that time, I said quality, excellence. These are words that I'm going to embrace. And what they mean to me today is very simple. I haven't cheated you, and I haven't cheated myself. I've done my very best. And I think that is a fulfilling reward that all people that have quality in their life and quality in their behavior experiences.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are excited about the Naftali interview with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu coming up in just a moment. But we wanted you to see the finish of this tech conference as they're coming together to be able to bring leadership to our country. And we wanted to show you each of these companies, their faces, their names. And they're saying, listen, we want to get behind this president with a plan to be able to bless our nation. Let's go there now.
And grandchildren.
Great. Thank you.
So, Mr. President, Steve Mollenkopf, CEO of Qualcomm. We thank you for the opportunity to contribute today. I would say our company works a lot on creating the base technology that allows big transitions to exist in cellular technologies. And we're very excited about the upcoming 5G transition. It's going to be a big job creator worldwide. I think it's important that the U.S. stays competitive, and we applaud the direction that the administration is taking.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, my name is John Doerr, chairman of Kleiner Perkins and of a startup company called Nuna. And Jeff would say that your administration will be the innovation administration, and I'd like to challenge it to also be the data liberation administration. There's $1 trillion worth of value locked up in government databases, and if we unlock that, we can transform healthcare. We can improve services for citizens. We can lower the costs of government. And if you set the data free, the entrepreneurs are going to do the rest. I'm particularly impressed by the thinking of Seema Verma over in your right. Medicare and Medicaid teams, and look forward to working with you.
Thank
in the
you very much. Thank you.
I'm Michael Drake, president of The Ohio State University. Glad to be here today. And very happy to participate in this conversation. You know, we try to enable and empower and inspire young people to make a difference, and being able to partner with our colleagues here around the table and with the government to do that in a better way is something that we are very excited about.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ajay Banga, the CEO of MasterCard, and thank you for having us, Mr. President. I think in addition to what technology and the Internet of Things is going to do for all of us as an opportunity, side by side comes the tremendous responsibility on cybersecurity. And I think working that the right way with the right public-private partnerships, but also working it where the weakest link, which is small merchants and the individual consumer, get the right level of safety that they demand from us is really important. And I think the level of engagement in that dialogue today was very, very interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Ginny Rometty from IBM. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of being in a number and in the honor of being in a number of these sessions. And I think it's worth noting that the efforts around workforce development, around cybersecurity, around modernization, while they're difficult, in this short time, there has been progress already made. And so I would really say on behalf of both, you know, Ivanka and Jared and Chris and Reed, those of us who've been in it from the beginning, I can already see, and actions have been taken. So while these are difficult problems, I would just encourage us to keep going because I actually can see the change happening already. So I think this is a good sign of progress.
Thank you, Jenny. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, thanks to Jared and Ivanka for sort of driving this so hard. I'm absolutely convinced that during your administration, there's going to be a huge explosion in new opportunities because of the platforms that are getting built in our industry. Those will create huge, very large new business opportunities for which we entrepreneurs, technical talent, immigration, and so forth, that you understand. It can drive America very, very positively forward, and it's going to happen soon during your leadership.
We will, Eric. Peter?
Mr. President, I'm Peter Thiel. I'm a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. Very honored to be here today with all these terrific people. I think that the tech industry is an industry that is doing well in America, and we need to sort of make it do even better and give it the support, the regulatory support, in all sorts of different ways. And I think your administration's off to a terrific start in doing these things.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your help. Appreciate it.
Mr. President, I'm Shantanu Narayan. I'm CEO of Adobe. We're the company that's best known for Photoshop and PDF. Thank you for having us today. Two quick things. One is, I think you're championing a culture of innovation. I think is going to be critical to our country's future leadership. And shared services for improving government will, I believe, drive a lot of efficiency.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, Brian Krzyzewicz, CEO of Intel. You know, what I got out of today is, first, is a great honor to be here and a real pleasure, but also it was a great outreach, I think, between the private-public partnerships that we can really drive innovation much, much faster. And so I hope today is just the start of what we can accomplish together.
Thank you. A great company, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I'm deeply honored to be here. I'm Alex Karp, Palantir. Know many people in the room and in your White House from our work and have supported General McMaster on the front line and many of the special operations people in America and around the world. What's very gratifying about what you're doing is the focus on getting more output for the input, which I don't think there's been a deep focus on in the past. And I'm really grateful to your staff for pushing that forward. We focused on rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, which is something I think all Americans would welcome. And I thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bill McDermott from SAP. It's been a great pleasure working with your team on the intellectual renewal of America. We've had the opportunity, the great opportunity, to work with the Army, the Navy, even states like Indiana, and driving results. And I know you want to drive results. So in addition to the trillion in costs we can take out, probably we can add another $2 trillion on the numerator in terms of digital business by getting the public and the private sector in full cooperation under your administration. Look forward to supporting you every way I can.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Mr. President.
Hi, I'm Kyron Skinner. I think you know me from the campaign on the foreign and diplomacy side and from transition as well. But I'm also a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, where I work on international security issues, cybersecurity with the engineers and computer scientists. And what I liked most about today is that we talked about recreating the ecosystem of the early decades of the Cold War between government, among government, the private sector, and the university. To regenerate our economy and create innovation. I'm also a fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, and they'll get mad at me if I don't mention that.
That's good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm Julie Sweep, CEO of North America for Accenture.
The level of discourse and enthusiasm in the sessions today, which were very productive, is a powerful reminder of the importance of collaboration. And I think two very clear themes were that modernizing the government is not about technology, it is about outcomes for our citizens. And second is the investment also in our great public servants that this will be bring about, and the opportunities for the many people who serve in the federal government today to help them bring better services and outcomes for the citizens. And those are both very important and exciting themes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm Safra Katz, CEO of Oracle. We had an absolutely tremendous day working together. The partnership between academia, the government, and commercial enterprises is such a powerful combination together with leadership, which is critical for real success. And you had volunteers from all sides and a lot of people working already and raring to go for the next level. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm Tim Cook from Apple. The U.S. should have the most modern government in the world, and today it doesn't. And it's great to see the effort that Jared is putting in working on things that will pay back in 5 and 10 and 20 years. The government should be focused on its citizens, and the services of the government should be measured on how pleased the citizens are with receiving those services. That basic premise is not how it's done today. And so I would really encourage you to ask the cabinet how they're measuring their parts of government and what they're doing to serve the citizens that they're meant to do. Secondly, totally unrelated, but something I feel very passionate about, coding should be a requirement in every public school. We have a huge deficit in the skills that we need today versus the skills that are there. And we're trying to do our part, or hopefully more than our part, in doing that. But I think leadership from government is also key.
Thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate it. We appreciate all you're doing over the last number of months for jobs. Thank you all. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
This is so powerful. You're seeing the industries come together and say, listen, we want the American government to be a success. We want it to operate better. And these are the leaders in the industry of tech. And it's just so cool to watch the America come together. You know, e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. And we're seeing that take place. And we appreciate President Trump in that. Listen, we get back from this break. We're going to hear an interview with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But coming from a young 23-year-old man, Naftali, our unofficial reporter in Jerusalem. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, young man Nefertiti, he has a social media platform, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, that type of thing, and he's standing up. He's a messianic believer. He was a Jewish believer in Jerusalem. He loves Israel. He loves God. He loves Jesus, and he's standing up for Israel, but he's finding out people are just very hateful. Some people hate Israel, and he didn't know what to do, how to respond to it. So guess what he did? He got an interview with the leader of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is Nefertiti interviewing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, asking, what should you do? It's somebody at his place, 23 years old. He's also already came through the Israeli Defense Force. He served 2 years in a tank, defending Israel. And now he's asking the Prime Minister, how do you respond to all this hate that's going on social media? Take a look.
First of all, Prime Minister, thank you very much for having time to meet and discuss this important topic. Prime Minister, we're having an ongoing battle on social media, and it is hard to advocate for Israel. And I would love to hear what is your tip, what is your advice for our viewers? How can we help the state of Israel on social media?
I think it's easy to advocate for the state of Israel, because all you have to do is advocate the truth. That's my tip. Just tell the truth. Talk about our attackers. Who are they? Who are they supporting? These head choppers? Hamas? Palestinian democracy, exactly, in Ramallah? I mean, what? They obey women's rights? They respect gays? They respect minorities? It's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Israel is the one beacon of liberalism, of pluralism, of freedom. Just tell the truth. We're not free of blemishes. We're not perfect. Who is? But compared to whom? Compared to our Palestinian attackers who have no respect for human rights, for their own people, for the freedom of their own people. This is, I think it's absurd, it's preposterous. The only way we're going to move peace forward is to move on truth. Defend the truth, stand up for truth. When you stand up for the truth, you stand up for Israel.
What can we say to people that deny our connection to the land of Israel?
Well, we've only been there here about 4,000 years. I mean, so that's, I have to say, it's not 10,000 years. It's just 4,000 years. To be specific, from Abraham, about 3,700 years. Okay. I'd say that's a pretty big connection. We're not colonials. We're back in our ancestral homeland. Very few people in history have had this enduring connection to their homeland as we have. That's what I would say.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure that it will help a lot of our viewers to advocate for Israel and to fight the good fight on social media.
Well, keep it up. Remember, advocate the truth. Stand up for the truth, stand up for Israel, and be proud. Thank you.
We're so proud of Nefertiti. He is our unofficial Jerusalem reporter for VFN TV. We're collaborating somewhat. And he's going on the front lines to find out what's going on. And we're just so proud of him. He's 23 years old, speaking up for protection of Israel, protection of the Jewish people, and our hearts and prayers. I encourage you to pray for him, because he's on the field right there in Jerusalem, taking reports and giving us firsthand. And when he makes it available to us, we make it available to you. Also, you can connect to his YouTube and to his social media. We can find out more about that at VFNTV.com. Well, here we are. Our president is leading the charge for new revitalized health care because the Obamacare has crashed. It's on life support. Its insurance agencies are backing out of it. You heard on our earlier program that CEOs and leaders of industry are having to no longer be able to insure their employees because of the Obamacare and what it's done to the nation. But they're bringing in, as we speak right now, Senate is running a bill through to be able to have a new health care for America where everybody does well, including the businesses. As a matter of fact, here is the president now.
My fellow Americans, millions of families across our nation are suffering under the disaster known as Obamacare. Traveling throughout our country over the last 2 years, I have met so many of these wonderful Americans, and I have never forgotten their stories. In Wisconsin, I recently met a proud veteran and his wife, Michael and Tammy Cushman. When they were forced onto Obamacare and the exchange in 2015, they thought they would be able to keep their doctor, but they couldn't. They thought they would be able to keep their plan, but they weren't allowed. They were told their premiums would go down, but instead they soared by 120% upward. It was one Obamacare lie after another. Today, the Cushmans spend $1,400 a month on health insurance, nearly one-fourth of their entire net monthly income. On the same visit, I met another family, Robert and Sarah Stahl. Robert is a volunteer captain for his local fire department. After their Obamacare premiums nearly doubled, they needed extra money, and Sarah had no choice but to leave retirement to pay their bills. But this new income meant they were no longer eligible for the tax credit they had once received, and the federal government actually forced them to repay thousands and thousands of dollars. These families and so many others are victims of a catastrophic law that is wreaking havoc on our healthcare system and our families. Democrats in Congress created this calamity, and now, if we don't act, millions more Americans will be hurt by Obamacare's deepening death spiral. Americans were promised lower premiums, more choices, and better access. Instead, premiums have doubled nationwide, and insurers are still fleeing the market that Obamacare has nearly destroyed. Americans in nearly one-third of all counties have only one insurer to choose from on the exchanges, and many markets may soon have no insurers at all. It really is a disaster. The American people are calling out for relief, and my administration is determined to provide it. And we are working with Congress to get a bill to my desk so we can rescue Americans from this catastrophe. As families across the nation continue to suffer under this law, I only hope that Democrats in Congress will have the political courage to help fix what we know to be a catastrophic situation, a total disaster that they have created, to be part of the solution instead of obstructing, always obstructing change, blocking reform, and doubling down on Obamacare's failure. But no matter what, my administration will never stop fighting for you and for the healthcare system that you deserve. We'll get it done. Even if we don't have any help from the Democrats, we'll get it done. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
This is so important. Our health care, I mean, you think about it, you can have everything going for you, but if your health is hit, if you get sick, if something happens, you get in an accident, I mean, this is so important to have a good health care system. And from some of the reports that we're hearing about the Senate bill, that it is really a very good bill, it actually is going to work. And that the second phase of this is going to be where we have cross-state competition, where right now you cannot purchase insurance outside of your state. And so if you have a company that's in 50 different states, you got to have 50 different insurers. But now they're actually talking about the second phase of this to be able to break loose competition. Of course, competition comes in, that's when prices come down. We got to pray for them to put this policy together because it could be your mother, your family member that's sick. So we need a good health care policy to be able to take care of our people. Listen, I want to be able to pray for you right now. You know, I want to be able to just ask the Lord to bless you and to keep you. And these are amazing days as God's mercy has shined forth on us. And just want to pray His protection over you. Father God, I thank you for our audience, those that are watching and listening. I pray a blessing over them, Father God, where they are all over the world, Lord, that you would meet them right there where they're at, Father God, and encourage them, Lord. Heal them, Father God. Provide for them, Father God. And Lord, I ask you right now, Father God, that you would end abortion in America, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing His voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what He's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear Him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And He says that, you know, His sheep will hear His voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And He knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And alone with God,
mm-hmm.
And y'all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? The children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
To know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear His voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.